If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Psalms 92, the 92nd Psalm. And I want to read the first five verses. Psalms 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. I love that statement that this psalm starts with. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I believe that this psalmist might be a master of understatement. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto thy name. Now, I did a little checking because I do remember seeing this rather often. And giving thanks is an overlying theme in the book of the Psalms. We are told 80 times in the Bible the words are used, give thanks unto the Lord. 80 times, right? Well, 45 of them are in the Psalms, over half. In 21 verses, it's written in the Psalms. Matter of fact, we're told 40 times to sing praises unto the Lord. I'm beginning to sense a theme here, you know? Why are we told so many times? We forget. We forget. We need to be reminded. I don't know about you, but I need repetition to get something settled in this thing here. And then it'll slip away when I'm not looking. But I need the repetition. We do forget. We who are sinners and saints need to be reminded. Give thanks unto the Lord. Sing praises to His name. Because also, not only do we forget, we are caught up, distracted, and bothered in our own circumstances. And some of them are very real and some of them are very bad, and I understand. But we ought to always remember to give thanks unto the Lord, even for those circumstances we don't like. And some days we just might be lazy and don't want to do anything. Or is that just me? Yeah, I believe you, yeah. No. That's the kind of people we are as believers. We need to be reminded. We need to hear this over and over again. That song, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. Yeah. It's a good thing to give thanks unto God and to sing praises unto His name and to be told the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's go on today and be reminded. Where I'm going to be starting at and what I want to talk about, my title, Paul, is Glad Through Thy Work. Glad Through Thy Work. Verse 4. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Now I'm going to tell you something right there. That's giving thanks unto the Lord. Amen. He has made me glad. This is praising the name of the Most High. Here it is, you, Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, Supreme, Self-Existent One, above all, made me glad. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The Lord, and the word means this, literally, to brighten up. That's what it means. To be cheerful, or best of all, rejoice. Rejoice. Joy, joy in his name, joy in giving thanks unto the Lord, and sing praising his name. And verse 2 says this, what? To show forth. To show forth. We're not giving thanks and singing praises to get anything. We want to show forth that he has made us glad. I like that. I like that. We're not to get, it's just show forth, what does it say? His loving kindness. What? In the morning. And thy faithfulness every night. Now that's something. You know what that pretty much is? That's pretty much all day long. And all night long. I like that. His kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. The Lord is with his people day and night. Day and night. All day, every day. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. And this actually is a statement to tell us why we need to thank God, give thanks to God, and to praise his name. Why? He's made his people glad. I like that. He's made his people glad. So give thanks and praise in word and song. And so now the psalmist tells us how the Lord made me glad. He tells us, through thy work. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? Through thy work. He didn't say through thy holiness, through thy love, even through thy righteousness. No. The Lord hath made me glad through his work. Now that's something. You understand? Because here's the thing. True happiness, true joy, true rejoicing, true gladness will never come from your works or mine. It comes from God's works. God's works. I remember telling Earl one day, we were sitting around just running our mouths, talking back and forth, as we used to do sometimes. And I remember telling him, he said, he quoted some preacher, I'm not going to say his name. I think it was Reesinger, but I'm not going to say that. But anyway, this fellow said, I'm kind of right pleased with myself. And Earl quoted that to me, and I looked at Earl and I said, Earl, the only thing I'm really pleased with myself about is what God's done with me. In my flesh dwells no good thing. I'm reminded of that daily. I try not to remind you people of it, of my shortcomings. You can remind yourself of your own shortcomings. But in my flesh and in your flesh and in your flesh and in your flesh dwells no good thing right now, even as a saved, believing, regenerated, believing sinner. A saint of God. That's what that description means. But I can be glad in his work. I am glad in his work. That's one reason why I've decided this, because I like this. I looked it up. I actually preached on this differently about 8 years ago, 2014. And it just hit me again. And I didn't know I'd done it. I had searching my records, and I have it on the computer. And it tells me. I said, well, good, that's been long enough. I can do it again. And this is a different sermon, but still. Here it is. It is through the Lord's work that we joy, that we rejoice. And God's work is sovereign, and God's work is supreme.
Amen.
And that makes me glad. That makes me glad. It ought to make you glad, too. You understand? But now here's the thing. What work? He didn't really go into it here. So I picked up four of them. That's all I did. I just got four. I had five. I cut one out because I didn't want to be here too long. It's cold outside. And I don't want to get you going. And anyhow, but here it is. The truth of it is, all of his work makes me glad. The only thing is, I don't know all of his work. I know what's in here. And I only know some of what's in this book. But I'm going to tell you something. The part I do know, I like. Yeah. Matter of fact, some of it I even love. And it's His work, His will, and His way that makes me glad. So I'm going to give you four of them. The first one I want to talk about that makes me glad, for Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work, is the work of creation. Might as well start at the beginning. In the beginning, God. You understand? That makes me glad. It wasn't in the beginning us, because we'd have messed it up. It's in the beginning, God. The fact that God created this world and everything good in it is His work. It's His work. And that makes me glad. That makes me glad. Because here's the thing you'll find out from reading this book. God creates with purpose. Purpose. He always has a purpose. And now here it is. You want to know the purpose of God? I'll tell you. It's the purpose of His own will. It's His. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Oh my. The Creator created according to His good pleasure. As He was pleased. I like that. As He was pleased. Yeah. This includes man. Believe it or not. This includes man. Because we are His creation. We are His creation. And He created with purpose. But I gotta read you this. I was listening to Henry and he quoted this the other day. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for Himself. Don't get ahead of me. For Himself. Not for you. Not for you. And not for me. He's created all things for Himself. But He didn't stop there. Solomon was a very wise man. He wrote some of this stuff down. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God has created everything for a purpose. God creates with purpose. Oh, it's not. Now, I'm not going into that right now. Anyway, because I want you to understand, Walter's headed there, not there already. The potter does have power over the clay.
Amen.
To make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. From the same lump of clay.
Amen.
Now that makes me glad. But I'm going to tell you something. That makes other people mad. They do. And they'll try and rest it. They'll get in there. Because they'll say He makes one vessel unto honor and He makes another vessel that's common. A common use vessel. Well, look at the Greek. I got a computer. It'll do it for me. It says that word dishonor, the primary meaning is dishonor. Or, what is it? Disgrace. Disgrace. That's what that word means. You understand? This is the Lord's work. It's good and it's right, whether we understand it or not, whether we like it or not. But I'm going to tell you something. That's His work, and I think it's good. It makes me glad, because here's what I see when I read that. Without the Lord making some vessels unto honor, there wouldn't have been any.
Amen. That's right.
That's the point the world misses. They want to focus on, He made some people unto dishonor. No. Listen, it's the same lump. It's the same lump. We are no different than anyone else. Believers are no different than any other sinner, except that God has done something for us. What? Wait a minute, that's His work. That makes me glad. That's His work. Because I'm going to tell you something.
If the Lord does it, it's right.
It's right. Whether we know it or not. For he has given me to know something. And I'm going to tell you this really deep, dark thought here, theology, if you want. I have found out through reading the scripture and hearing his gospel preached. Now, y'all brace yourselves. This is going to be deep, okay? I found out God knows what he's doing.
Amen. That's right.
I don't. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I do. Most times I don't. But you understand, God always knows what he's doing. Oh. Now, I may not know what he's doing, and you may not know what he's doing, but I know why he's doing it. He pleased to do it. And one more thing. Walter already covered this. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to that purpose he created them for. Purpose. His purpose. Because here's the thing. His total work of creation makes me glad. Makes me glad. And that includes his work for us. Oh my. So, the second work I want to talk about that makes me glad, and this is a good one. This is the work of redemption. This is the work of redemption. Because you understand, redemption was a work. And redemption, what? It's his work of redemption. What? The obtaining, the giving, and the applying of it is all his work. He purposefully and perfectly gave himself as the offering to God for our sins. And what's it say? When he made that offering, he obtained eternal redemption for us. For us, for believers, for his elect, for his children, for those that the Father gave to him. He obtained it. He's got it. And he's applying it exactly where he wants to. I'm going to tell you something. Redemption is done. Redemption is done. Oh, it's just now some of us are finding out about it. There'll come a day, if you're one of his, if you're one the Father gave to him, you're going to find out about the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, I like that. Because here's the thing. Jesus Christ paid the debt that I owed. You understand? If I sing that song, Jesus paid it all, I mean it. I mean it. Because if he didn't pay it all, I'm damned. All the debt I owe. Oh, the debt of all his chosen, given people, Jesus Christ paid on Calvary. And he took that sacrifice and offering to the Father, and the Father accepted it. And right there and right then, he obtained eternal redemption for us. He's not obtaining it now. He already obtained it. That happened 2,000 years ago. You understand? Let's just make this plain. The believer, those who know Christ, no longer owes any debt to God.
Amen.
That ought to make you glad.
Yeah.
It makes me glad. And you know what? That's his work. That's his work. It's not my work. It's not my work. Yes, we sin. And yes, Jesus Christ has paid our ransom. That price is paid. That price is paid. What did Paul write in Romans 4, I think it is, quoting from the Psalms? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
I love that. You know what? That's a work I can be glad in, Mac. That's a work I can be glad in. Oh, I like that. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, because his work of redemption makes me glad. It does. It makes me glad. Now, the third work. This is a good one, too. They're all good. But the work of grace in His chosen people. I like that. The work of God, Father, Son, and Spirit in His people. Was it? God's gracious work. Gracious work. What? John, you don't have to turn here. John 1:11. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, what's this? Being born of God is a gift given to His people. In His people. In His people. At one time, we were all dead spiritually. But being born of God is when He says, comes upon you polluted in your own blood, and I said unto thee, live.
Yeah.
You know what happened? When He said that, you lived. Why? Because it's His work. And it's good, and it's right, and it's perfect. And we're none of the above. But He is. He is. Oh, John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that is being born from above.
Amen.
Born again. Born from above. Born again is the work of the Lord in His people. The Holy Spirit blows whether it listeth, wherever it wants to. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. All you know is something happened to you. And it may take you a little while to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Because we are that dense. And we were that dead. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll notice something's different. And then, you can see the kingdom of God. Might not understand much about it, but you'll see it. Being born of God is a gift given to His people. It's the work of the Lord. And this work of God makes me glad. It makes me glad. And I'm going to tell you something. If this don't make you glad, there's a problem with you. There's a problem with you. If this doesn't make you glad, you don't have a problem with me. You might have a problem with the Scriptures. You might have a problem with the truth. You definitely got a problem with God if it doesn't make you happy that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, if you hear His voice, you're going to come out of the grave, that death. You're going to come out when He speaks. Oh, my. What is it? And here's another thing. The work of grace in His people, in His chosen people. Believing on Jesus Christ is a work of the Lord. You know I got scripture for this, right? You know I do. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God.
Amen.
That ye believe on Him whom He has sent.
Yeah.
Now what did Jesus actually mean by that? Does that mean that the work we're supposed to do is to believe on God? Or it takes the work of God that you believe in God? Well, yes, the answer is correct. Both of them. They're both true. Because here it is, whosoever believeth, this is 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Salvation in the child of God is the work of the Lord.
Amen.
It's His salvation and it's His work.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I do. The Lord's work of grace in man makes me glad. It does. It makes me glad. Okay. Now the fourth one. The work of grace in the completion of our salvation. You know, he's not done with us yet. Thank goodness. He's not done with us yet. He's promised us more. And one of the things he's promised is the Good Shepherd has promised what? He will lose none of his sheep. You understand? Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He called himself that. And he keeps his people. Oh, that's good stuff. We are kept, Peter wrote. We're kept by the power of God. Oh, I like that. We're kept by the power of God through faith, which is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, folks, just in case you weren't sure about that. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, I like that. I do. Not only does he save us, the Lord keeps us. Our Lord Jesus Christ keeps us by his power through faith in him that he gave us. This is his work. The completion of our salvation is his work. I was going to read this. John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Oh, I like that. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him, what? That sent me, the Father. Oh, I like that. And this is the Father's will. Lots of people like to talk about what God's will is. Well, here's what Jesus Christ said himself. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, past tense, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then verse 41, the Jews murmured. And then in verse 42, they said, we know his mama and his daddy. And no, they didn't. But here, verse 44, or verse 43, Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You're not raising yourself up. He's going to raise you up. The completion of our salvation is the work of the Lord. Oh, I like that. I do. Oh. Oh, he. All the Father gives me shall come to me. And no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me drawing. You got that in six verses.
Yeah.
And you know what part of it's true? All of it. That's right. All of it. All of it. Yeah. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Somebody's going to come. But no man can come except it be given him of the Father.
Amen.
Or except my Father sent me, draw him. They're both true. We need to come to Christ. He told us, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, if you're not laboring, and if you're not heavy laden, he wasn't talking to you. I mean, you can get as particular as you want about this, but that's the truth of the matter. But he says, if you are weary, and if you are heavy laden, and you are laboring, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Why? Because that's his work, too. To give you rest. If you're weary, if you're heavy laden, if you know you are a sinner, come to Christ. He'll save.
Amen.
He saves. And he saves sinners. Oh, I like that. I do. Oh, my. The completion of salvation by Jesus Christ makes me glad. It really does. Because all of his works are good, right, gracious, and glorious. And here's something that just boggles my mind whenever I read it. Known unto God are all his works.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
From the beginning. When God created, he created with purpose. And known at the beginning, he knew all of his own works. Oh, wow. I mentioned this, but I didn't go to this part. Because this is something glorious to contemplate. Just think about this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? What? According to the working of his mighty power. You understand? He told some folks, if you believe not that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. But here's the thing. Believers believe not of themselves. I can't even take credit for believing Christ.
Amen. That's right.
I can't. Because here it says, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Yes, believers persevere. You know why? Because Jesus Christ preserves. He preserves. Oh, I like that. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. You understand? That's okay with me because I don't trust myself to do it right. And I don't trust you either, if you really want to get down to it. Now, I know, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing either, you know? It's okay. I don't trust myself to do it, but I trust him. His work is good. His work is good. As a matter of fact, that ought to fill you with joy. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. His work of grace in me, in you, and in every child of God. His work and himself is my hope. He is my hope. You understand? Every one of his people, he does this for. And that makes me glad. That makes me glad, that work. Then the last little bit. He says, I will triumph, what? In the works of thy hands.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, don't be put off by the word triumph. You know, we think of a triumph as a victory. I win, you know. No. This word actually translates, it's true, means shout aloud.
Yeah.
I'm going to triumph in him. I'm going to shout aloud. I'm going to cry with joy and or rejoice. Rejoice. I will rejoice in the works of thy hands. Oh, that's good. That's good. Why? His works made me glad, and I'm going to rejoice in thy works. Oh, there you go. Verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And just for fun, verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not.
Yeah.
Neither doth a fool understand this. Oh, my. And here's the thing. At best, we see through a glass darkly. Even our understanding of the Scripture is limited. It's limited by ourselves. And if he doesn't open unto you the understanding of the Scriptures, you're not going to understand them. But he's promised. He'll do it. He'll do it. He's done it. And when he opens, and no man shuts. No man shuts when he opens. Oh, I like that. His works and His thoughts are deep and glorious. We can't know them. They are too high. But we want to know more. We want to know more. You understand? Believers want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we want. The brutish man doesn't want that. The foolish man doesn't want that. Doesn't understand it. And here's the pitiful part. The brutish man and the fool, they don't care. They don't care. I'm going to tell you something. I've been there. I remember a time. I wouldn't care two flips for this, Mac. Jack, I didn't care anything about God or Jesus Christ. And really, I didn't care about people who annoyed me trying to talk about it. But that got changed. And that was a work of God. They don't care, just like I used to not care. Now, in conclusion, I do want to point out, if you look at the very beginning of this psalm, it says it is a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. This is a psalm for the day of rest. You know why you can rest? The Lord's work. You can rest when He's doing His work. That's the problem. The world doesn't know He's doing His work. The world doesn't know that He's always done His work, and the world's not going to rest in Him. Jesus Christ is our rest.
Amen.
Oh, my. I rest in His work. You understand? Now, I'm going to walk in Christ, in the Spirit, by God's grace. That's His work, too. But you understand, I'm rested in His work for my salvation. My walk and my work is because of His salvation. Not to gain it, not to keep it. None of that. I rest in Him for my salvation. For the completion of my salvation. Oh, I like that. You understand? It's not normal to be glad because of the work of the Lord. Not in this world. It's not normal. Because here it is. Paul told us in Corinthians. The gospel of Jesus Christ that gives me joy. The gospel of Jesus Christ that you love is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense to religious people. And to those who aren't religious, secular, if you will, it's foolishness.
Yeah.
It's absolute foolishness. They'll laugh at you for believing this. My wife was watching scientists on TV yesterday. And she said, that's the guy. She said, what? He always makes fun of anybody who believes the truth. Or anybody who believes anything about God. And I said, yeah, it's not surprising. It's foolishness to him. But to those who are called, oh, it's the power of God, and it's the wisdom of God, and it makes us glad.
Amen.
It makes us glad. You understand? Because here it is, it takes the power and the work of God Almighty to save a sinner and to bring that sinner into the fold, into the assembly, into His body. Oh, He calls them by name. And they follow Him.
Amen.
They follow Him. I love that. What does it say? Oh. This is one of my favorite verses in the Psalms. You don't have to turn here. But this is Psalms 47 and verse 6. Here we go. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 times in one verse it says sing praises unto God. I like that. But then the next verse tells us why. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises,
wait for it, with understanding.
Ha ha ha. Now, who gives understanding? The Lord gives understanding. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us understanding. Sing praises with understanding. I understand we do try to be careful about what songs we pick. And what songs we pick are not based on my ability to sing them. Based on the words in the song. Because that's what we want. We want the truth in preaching and also in song. We want to sing praises to His name. We want to give thanks unto the Lord because His works has made us glad. I like that. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I like that. I do. Our Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for all of Your work. Even the work we don't see, we don't know, we never even hear of. But we know it's good because it's Your work. We know it's right because it's Your work. And we know it's for Your own glory, which You deserve. Be with Paul as he comes to speak here today, this morning. Be with Walter as he stands in another place. Help us, Lord, to bring forth Your word, Your message of grace and truth in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.